Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening using the gospel according to John chapter 10. I read verses 27 and 28. John 10, verse 27 and 28, where we read God's holy and infallible word as follows. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, question answer 54. And the theme for the sermon tonight is, the church is from the Lord. The church is from the Lord. Congregation, I remember those years that we lived in South Africa, Pretoria. I remember when we would return home after the morning service, children. Then we saw there out in the fields, tree, and under that big tree, a group of people. And at first we wondered, well, what's happening there? What are they doing? But later on we understood that it was a gathering of Christians listening to the Word of God. So we could say it was a church. Might be that we think when we talk about a church that we think about a building. Well, you can use the word for that. But a church is much more. If we look to Scripture, we have to say, no, the church is those people that belong to Christ. If you would look up the word in the Greek, in the New Testament, it has the word kuriake, and that has in it the word kurios, which means Lord. The church is from the Lord. Kuriake means that which is from the Lord. The church is not from us. We many times say our church. Or as a pastor you can say that my church. But we should never forget that the church is from the Lord. If you read the Book of Revelation and those letters that the Lord Jesus is writing, we can see the church is from the Lord. He's writing those letters to seven churches. The church belongs to Him. He's the one that is walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And what an amazing thing. What a deep comfort there is if we think about it. If we think about a church in that way, especially in times that we have our deep concerns about the church, that we see many people turning away from the meeting under the Word of God, and then to look unto the Lord and to pray and to remember, Lord, it is Thy work to gather the church in this world history. So the church is much more than a building. It's much more than a denomination. What is a church? That is the question here in the Heidelberg Catechism. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? So let's give attention to that question. It's good to listen carefully also to the questions of the Heidelberg Catechism. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? So you remember that we are studying, that we are getting teaching about the Apostolic Confession of Faith, the Apostles' Confession of Faith, the 12 articles of faith. And one of those articles is talking about that we believe one holy Catholic Christian Church. So, what believest thou? It is a matter of faith. The church in this world is a matter of faith. It is many times not that we can clearly see in the church that glory and that power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we see the church persecuted, despised, in difficult circumstances. We remember also in Scripture in the time of Elijah. He was so discouraged. He said, "I'm the only one that's left over." It was not true. And the Lord told him that there were 7,000 that didn't bend the knee for Baal. He needed faith to see it. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? It's a personal question. Can you answer it? What do you believe about the church? What is there in your heart concerning the church? Do you have faith about the church of Christ in this world? And faith has to do with prayer, has to do with to work with the promises of God. Lord, thou hast spoken in thy word that thou art gathering thy church, and that we pray for it. And in that way, that faith will be alive in our hearts. Faith, resting in the promises of God. What do you believe about the church? What is there in your heart, young people, children? Do you ever think about that miracle that there is a church in this world? And it's gathered by Christ. It is His work. The church is from the Lord. What a miracle. The church has a place of light in a dark world. The light of the gospel. The light of the glory of God in a world full of selfishness and sin. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer that the Son of God, that is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, He who has the power, like He has spoken, when He ascended to heaven, told His disciples that He had to go into this world to proclaim the gospel. Unto me is given all power in heaven and on earth. The Son of God, He who is in glory now in the throne of God with His Father, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to Himself. So where did it start? Did the church start at Pentecost? That's what we sometimes think and say. And in a certain way, yes, there started the New Testamentic church. There was that miracle that wall of separation was broken down between Jews and Gentiles, and that Gentiles started to share in those rich promises of the covenant of God, and that the Lord worked by the Holy Spirit in the heart so that they believed in the God of Israel, in the Savior, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not where the church started. It says here in the Heidelberg Catechism that it started from the beginning So it has always been in the world that the Lord is gathering the church. Right there in paradise, there was the promise. There was the promise of God about Christ, about the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus that would be born in this world and would bruise the head of the serpent, destroy, conquer the devil. So there was already the power of Christ in the promise. Like it says in another place in Scripture, that the Lamb is slaughtered from the foundation of the world. So the church is gathered by the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world. There was the promise in paradise to Adam and Eve, so that they would believe and be saved out of sin and misery. It started right there. But it will last to the end of the world, till the last day, the day of judgment, the day that the Lord Jesus will return. The Lord will continue to gather His church, all those that He has elected from eternity. They have to come to be gathered by the Son of God. And that will happen. There will be a church in this world history, always, because Christ cannot be a king without servants. He will continue to gather the church till that number is full. The last one of those that He has loved from eternity will be gathered to the church. So church, we have to write it with a capital letter, like it is here in the answer. It is the church, it is that number of people that belong to Christ, gathered by Him throughout world history. Not only gathered, but also defended. He's watching over His church. He is walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Well, maybe you say, but isn't it true that there are situations in this world that there was a church, but that it changed and that there's no church anymore in certain countries? That is true. But there is a church in this world, so the Lord can move the candlestick of the gospel to another country, to another part of the world. But there is still the church in this world, and still the gathering, the saving of souls by the Son of God. In the Netherlands, they close churches. That might happen here. People think that they do not need God. They turn away. An important reason is the wealth that we have. We have everything for this life, and we have it in abundance. And in our foolishness, we think we can do without God. I do not need God. I have everything. Forgetting about our soul created for eternity, and turning away and enjoying the things of this world without acknowledging God as the giver. Choosing pleasure of sin above that deep joy of the knowledge of the living God in Christ. But I hear that in the southern parts of this world, which is the poor part of the world, you can say, there are churches planted all the time. Many of them. So the Lord is gathering His church in this world, throughout this world history. Pray for those young churches. They need teaching. They need leadership. The devil will always attack where the Lord is gathering His church. So not only churches are planted there, but also churches are falling apart because or getting stuck in heresy because of a lack of leadership and knowledge. That was the blessing of doing the work at Makanyo Theological College in South Africa. The principal would say, "We do not give apples to the people, but we plant apple trees." So he mean, we send leaders to the churches so that they can do the work there to proclaim the gospel in their own language and own culture. And that work is needed so much. Pray that the Lord will bless it. It's Christ, the Son of God, gathering the church in this world history and defending His church. Sometimes you can ask the question, why does the Lord allow times of persecution? Why are most Christians in this world suffering for the name of Christ? Where is the Lord? Well, the Lord is right there. Look what happens, how those people witness about Christ, where there's the danger of losing their life, how clear it is that there is the power of Christ and the comfort of the nearness of Christ experienced in their life. Sometimes you can be jealous about that. Read those books from the Netherlands, 80 years of war, Spain, and burning peoples, the center of the villages. They would sing psalms, and those that were watching it, they got a deep impression. Well, those Christians died, and they decided, I want to know what this is. And they started to study the Bible and to seek the Lord, and they found. So the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. God is gathering, the Son of God is gathering and defending and preserving the church. And see what is written here. He's gathering, defending, and preserving to Himself. Ah, that's wonderful. You see it before you, don't you? It's what we read from John 10. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know my voice, and they hear me, and they follow me. That's what Christ is doing. He is gathering, defending, and preserving to Himself. That is what it is about. The church is from the Lord. It is about Christ. It is about that people come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, to love Him, to be forgiven by Him, gathering to Himself, to come to Christ, to live near to Him. What do I say? I should say to live in Him, to be a member of Him, to belong to Him, and Christ living in them, to gather to Himself. Oh, that is the drawing power of His love, like a magnet. is drawing iron. He's drawing sinners by his love. He who is crucified, who died, who gave his life. What an amazing power there is. He's gathering the church. And sinners come. They come out of the darkness. They see the light of Christ. Muslims come. Pray for them. How hard it is. They will be rejected by relatives. They can be killed by them. But they come. They found what they couldn't found in Islam. The love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness by the sacrifice of Christ. He is the good shepherd. And they come all over the world. In Corinth, in Ephesus, they came. And Paul preached. They were deep in sin, idolatry, and adultery. But they came. They gave it all up. They gave it all for Christ's sake. He is gathering and defending, preserving to himself. He is their security. He is their fountain of life. There is the reason of the preserving of the church. They come to him and find in him everything. How does it happen? How does the Lord Jesus gather, defend, and preserve his church to himself? It's a good question, important question. Important for you and for me. Important if you don't know the Lord Jesus yet as your personal Savior. If you don't know the sweetness, the comfort, the consolation of forgiveness of sin. How does it happen? How is the Son of God gathering, defending, and preserving his church? How can I come to him, know him, be secure in him, preserved by him? Well, the answer is by his Spirit and Word. So here is the Word, the Bible. That is what God is using in this world. And by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you can say, is the author of Scripture. Has inspired people, so that's why we have this written Word of God. But it is also the Holy Spirit that is using the preaching and the reading, but especially the preaching, the proclamation of the Word, to bring it in the heart. That it does power in your heart. That it works conviction. That you get to know it is about me. And that you cannot get rid of it. It's like an arrow in your heart. You cannot pull it out. It hits you and changes in everything. You will die. That old life that has to die, and Christ will live in you. So it is by the Word and the Spirit. So when we read the Bible, when you read your Bible in your bedroom before you sleep, or when you rise, or, well, why won't you do it both times? You should pray for the Holy Spirit. You should be aware of the need of the Holy Spirit. And have expectation in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit is poured out. Pray with expectation. Because the Lord has spoken and written in his Word that he will give the Holy Spirit. If we keep praying for that. And then that Word that you read becomes so powerful, so rich for you, so sweet. Then you understand that people give up everything for that Word of God to know Christ. Well, that is what the Son of God is doing. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing. He who is in glory, is working here on earth in the proclamation of the word, it's a miracle. You cannot totally understand and comprehend, but it is true. It is reality. Oh, there's hope for sinners, because it is by the word and by the spirit. And we have the word, do we not? Do you use it? With prayer in your heart, and the spirit is poured out in abundance. Pentecost in a full, like a full stream in this world. And there you have the answer. How does it happen? By the word and the spirit. So the catechism doesn't say, we don't know, might happen to you one day or not. No, there is an answer for that question. It happens by the word and by the spirit. So it's not that you have to do something special, to perform something unique. Not that you have to, like climbing up in heaven, or descend in the deep. But here is the word. Here. You have it, don't you? You have your Bible. How many do you have in your house? How blessed we are. And you can read. That's also special. Many people in this world cannot read. You can read. You have it in your own language. You even have commentaries in books or on the internet. You can study it so that you will know God and that you will trust Him. Oh, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That you will have conviction. I sinned against God. Oh, I cannot help myself out of that misery. But God gave His Son, and He did what I need to be saved. In Him is what I lack. He paid the price for that my soul can be set free. It's by the word and by the spirit. Why would you perish? Why? Maybe you say, I love sin too much. That is foolish. Because sin can never give you the pleasure, the joy, the fulfillment, the satisfaction that is to be found in Christ and will be found if you seek in Him what you need for your soul. Why would you perish? Do you think that your sins are too many? Do you think that they are too bad? That you are too filthy? Too guilty? Where do you find that in Scripture? It is a lie. It's against the truth of the clear word of God. Don't listen to those thoughts that the devil is throwing in your heart and mind. But listen to the word that is used by the Son of God to gather a church in this world. Do you experience unbelief as a wall that you cannot come through? It is by the word and the Holy Spirit. Cry out. And don't quit, never stop. Cry out for the Holy Spirit. Because the word says that faith is a gift of God. It is worked by the Holy Spirit. Why would you perish forever? where you can be saved in glory by the work of Christ. He is gathering a church by His Spirit and Word out of the whole human race. It's not only from the beginning of the world history till the end, but it is all over the world. The gospel has to be preached to all nations. That's why we pray for the mission work. That's why I pray that there will be among us that will be called to give their life in the service of the Lord. Souls are dying in this world, and we have the word, and they have to hear it to be saved out of their misery, to be saved from the wrath because of sin, to be blessed by the knowledge of Christ. And there are so many promises in the word. Oh, if you go out in this world to proclaim the gospel, you can go out with hope and with expectation, because it is according to the word that souls will be saved. Where the word is preached, the Holy Spirit is using that preaching of the word according to God's counsel and sovereign will. And there will be fruit. That is what the Lord is saying in His word. Out of the whole human race, it doesn't matter what color of skin, it doesn't matter what language people speak, it doesn't matter where they live in this world, it doesn't matter how rich they are. No, you cannot pay with money. It is for free. It doesn't matter how deep they are in darkness of idolatry. There is power in the word to get them out of the darkness, to come to the light. Oh, this life is short. This life is a preparation for eternity. Oh, that we will be saved and used for the salvation of others in this world. One soul is more valuable than all the riches of this world. If you are used for one soul, oh, what a precious thing it is that we all might be used. And it's to the glory of God. And it will be an eternal joy in heaven. Out of the whole human race. Yes, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel was taken and privileged to get the revelation of the Lord, the Word of God, the Bible, the covenant. But that after Christ was born and accomplished everything, that changed. In that way that God has broken that wall that was around the people to keep them, so that Christ would be born among them. That wall is broken down. And the gospel is and has to be spread all over the world. And they come. They come. It's the power of the Son of God. We do not always see the fruit. And that is not the important, most important thing. The Lord will give to those that serve in His kingdom to see enough to encourage them to continue. Not so much that they would boast in themselves. But there will be fruit everywhere in this world, out of the whole human race. A church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, chosen. There is a deep, most deep reason. It is the amazing, eternal, unconditional love of God. He has chosen people to be saved. That is why it is possible. That is why it is certainly happening and does happen in this world history. It is the will of God from eternity. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 126, stanza 1 till 5. 126, stanza 1. God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. 126, stanza 1 till 5. question, what believest thou, what believe you concerning the Holy Catholic Church? The Holy Catholic Church. Do you know what that means, children? The Holy Catholic Church? That's what we confess with the Apostles' Creed. What does it mean that the Church is holy? We can say different things about it. Let's first say what it is not. It's not that the Church has no sins. I mean that people that belong to Christ do not sin anymore. That is not a meaning. Oh, they have a desire in their heart that they would be free from doing sins. They still fall in sins, in their thoughts and in the words and deeds, and they regret it, they mourn about it. They repent about it, they confess it before the Lord. So it does not mean that those that belong to Christ do not sin anymore. How much they want that to be the case, but it is not in this life. What is the meaning? So holy means, you could say, set apart in this world. If you take the word congregation and you look in the Greek, it means called out of this world. They do not belong to the world, although they are in the world. In a certain way, they are called out of it in their hearts, at the inward. They turn away from the world with a heart, because that's what happens in conversion, when they convert to the Lord. That means they turn away from the world. Holy, different, set apart for the Lord. Dedicated to God and not to the world or to themselves. And the other thing that you can say about it is, they are holy in Christ. Because of what Christ has done, because of living faith in the hearts, God is looking unto them, as it were, through Christ. And in Him they are holy. In Him the Lord does not see sin. In His Jacob, and no unrighteousness in His Israel. A holy Catholic Church. Catholic Church. What does that mean? Catholic means universal. It's a church that is all over the world, in many denominations, countries, nations, tribes, languages. Catholic Church. And still it's one church. So if we talk about a Roman Catholic Church, you better say Roman Church or Roman Catholic Church, because if it has a right, we all belong to the Catholic Church. If we have that true faith, we are a member of the Catholic Church of Christ. It is about Him. It is a church chosen to everlasting life. Everlasting life. They will not die. Death is like a gate into the situation that they enjoy life in a full and everlasting way. Chosen to everlasting life. The Lord Jesus says in John 17, this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So if you think about it in that way, then it starts, that everlasting, that eternal life starts at the very moment of the first act of faith, the first surrendering to Jesus, "Oh Lord, save me, poor sinner." There starts eternal life, real life, everlasting life. And it will be fully experienced in heaven. Here by faith, there you could say by sight, full experience. Chosen to everlasting life. God has chosen them. This is most deep reason. And in this life, He is calling them, like the shepherd calling the sheep, and they hear His voice and they follow Him. So to know the Lord Jesus is to hear His voice and to follow Him by faith. To have all your hope, trust, and expectation in Him. For forgiveness of your sins, for renewal of your life, for conquering your enemies, for persevering till the end of this earthly life. All your hope and expectation is in Christ, to follow Him, to hear His voice, His word. Agreeing in true faith. Yeah, that church is scattered, you could say, all over the world. But there's unity. It says, "What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church?" Not a, but the. There's one Holy Catholic Church. And what is their unity? Is it really true? We see so many denominations. You might even sometimes be confused. What is the right denomination or church? Where should I go? It's a shame. Shame upon us that we have separated the church in so many ways. And too many times it was also that there were human reasons involved, not only about the truth. And that can also happen. Yes, we have to stand for the truth. But it is so sad, making us ashamed to see all the separations. That's not a reason to... That's not a thing to be proud about. Let's not boast in our church or denomination. Let us pray that God will bring together, at least that there will be unity, even over church walls, in this agreeing, in the true faith. And that's amazing. You can have that you go to another country, another culture, another language. You might have a hard time to communicate, but then, although it is hard, you can communicate. At least you understand, you recognize something of that faith, that true faith in the life of that person. You see it, you hear it, you almost feel it, you recognize it. Here's a person, you see it in their eyes, isn't it? Aren't the eyes a mirror of the heart, of the soul, something of that broken spirit? Something of that miracle of grace. Something of that love of Christ. That He has loved me. Chosen me. Forgiven me. Accepted me. Brought me back to the heart of the Father. There's an agreement. There's an amazing unity. In that humility. Of true faith, being saved by Christ, agreeing in true faith. Christ is all for a poor sinner. He is all your hope, all your joy, all your peace, all your glory. Agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Here, we again recognize the catechism, that personal witnessing that I am. That is what it is about. You can know a lot of things about a church. You can tell a lot of things about the truth. That's good. I'm glad you can. But here is the question. Can you say from your heart that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof? It's a miracle. It's great. It feels too great. Oh Lord, how is this possible? But I know it's true. It's the truth of the word. You say that. You don't need more. You cannot do with less. It's personal. It's about you. And about me. About our soul. That I am. Maybe you say, yes, but I'm so attacked. It says, and forever shall remain. Pastor, you should know how many times I'm attacked by the devil. I'm accused by my conscience. And I'm ashamed to say, but that there's doubt in my heart. That there's fear in my heart. That I think, oh, one day I will die in the hands of Saul. Like David thought when he had to flee. I will die in the hands of the devil. That will not happen. Listen, if you rest in Christ, it will not happen. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, he makes them willing and obedient to listen to his voice and to his word. They know him. That's why they obey. Because they know Christ and they follow me, even taking cheerfully their cross. And I give unto them eternal life. I give that they know me and my Father, and that will never end. And they shall never perish. And they shall never perish. These are the words of the Son of God. This is the truth. He cannot lie. Oh, that you would rely on him and his word. They shall never perish. And you shall never perish. Oh, believe these words. Oh, you attacked soul, child of God. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's impossible. He has all power. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand to be in the hand of Christ. Because of being saved by his work, by faith. That means to be in the hand of his Father. To be in the hands of this Almighty God. No one, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Oh, believe this word of Christ. You attacked, child of God, and you that are standing afar off, come. Come to Christ. Oh, and believe that in him is full remission of all your sin. Come, believe. Rest in him. It's according to his word. You struggle with unbelief. Oh, cry for the Holy Spirit and have expectation, hope. You will be saved. Don't give up. Seek him. You will find him according to his word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for grace. For the first time or again, to hear thy voice. It's so sweet. It's so good. to hear the voice of Christ. Oh, His love is more precious than anything in this world. Take everything, O Lord, but oh, do not take Thy Holy Spirit. Give us Thy Holy Spirit, who is taking out of Christ what we need for our soul. It is there in abundance, and it will be received by those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. O Lord, work that hunger and work that thirst in our hearts, and we will be satisfied. Lord, bless Thy word, and that it will go in our heart, be in our hearts, that we will ponder it, meditate upon it, and that it will be experienced that it is a godly word, a living word, that we will receive eternal life for the first time and again in a new and fresh way. Lord, keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads. Keep us in the night. Keep us this week. Lord, keep us from sin. Protect all that travel this week, Lord. Long distance, short distance. We are fragile. Thou art the Almighty God. That we will know that security in Thy hand. Lord, bless Thy word. We pray in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.